Well, this morning we're going to be finding ourselves in Corinth. Corinth is another one of those very significant places in the life of Paul. In the scripture that we read together a little while ago, there's one phrase that's very important that Paul shared while he was in Corinth, and that was, "From now I go to the Gentiles." This was a turning place in Corinth in that missionary journey when Paul began to realize God's calling on his life was a calling to the Gentiles. Now, that doesn't mean that he would never speak to the Jews again, but it does mean he recognized, this is my primary calling. Now, that was important because up until that point, he had basically said, God is sending me to speak into the synagogues, to speak to the Jewish populations of the cities, and then I can speak to the Gentiles as well. But here he changed his mind. Because you see, when Paul left Athens and made his way to Corinth, he recognized he was in a new kind of place. Now, in many ways, the two cities were very much like one another. Both Athens and Corinth were major cities at that time. They each had populations of several hundred thousand. Each of them had significant impact on life beyond their city. Each one of them drew a population from around the world. But they were also very different from one another. Athens was renowned for wisdom. Corinth was famous for commerce. Athens was known for philosophy. Corinth was famous for its wealth. Athens was known for living life thoughtfully. And Corinth was dedicated to living life impulsively. The difference between Athens and Corinth is most obvious in the way that they approached worship in their cities, these Gentile people. Athens, if you remember from last week, was that place where Paul found many idols, many temples, many chapels, many altars, many ways to worship a variety of gods and goddesses. Corinth was a city that was dedicated to the worship of a single goddess, Aphrodite, the goddess of pleasure. In Paul's day, 1,000 captive women were compelled to serve as temple prostitutes at the temple of Aphrodite. Each one of them was given a special kind of sandal that they were to wear every day as they went about their business and as they entered the marketplace. Each of those sandals were inscribed with two words. Now, it was the Greek version of those words, but I don't need to tell you that. What I do need you to know is those sandals were inscribed with the term, "Follow me. Follow me." And wherever these women walked, they would leave behind themselves the impressions of those sandals. And it was a signal to men that they were seeking to entice from out the town that they could follow into the temple of Aphrodite and to find themselves involved in sinful activities and actions. They might as well have said, "Follow me, and I will lead you to destruction." That's what made Paul's invitation to the people of Corinth so compelling, because he called people to turn and go in a completely different direction. Instead of destruction, salvation. Instead of sinfulness, redemption. He called people to repent, to turn and go another way. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul issued a different kind of challenge. This is what he wrote in that passage. "Follow me as I follow Christ." Not follow me in the path of sinfulness. Follow me as I follow Christ. And we're called to hear that same invitation that was given so many years ago. How can you follow Christ? 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 6, the Bible gives us the answer. It says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." You hear Paul crying out, follow me as I follow Christ. And you ask the question, so what do I have to do? How do I do this following Christ thing that Paul has called me to do? And 2 Corinthians says that an effective follower makes three I will decisions that can guide your life. So let me share these three decisions that the Corinthians made and people through the ages have made and that you can make today if you are serious about the whole challenge of following Christ. The first thing you would say is this: I will trust Christ. Let me ask you a basic question this morning. Have you ever made the decision that you will trust Christ? Have you ever decided within your own life, that's exactly what I want to do? I want to live a life in which I trust the Lord. Now, usually when you hear a question like that, you assume it's a salvation question. It's a question like, have you ever been saved? Have you ever made that decision to invite Jesus into your heart? Have you ever trusted Him for the first time so that you could know you have everlasting life? Here's the thing. And if you decide this is just a salvation decision, then you're basically basing your faith upon something that happened yesterday, something that happened in the past. But today, when I ask you that question, have you decided, I will trust Christ? I want to challenge you to think of it as a forward-looking question. Have you ever decided that you will follow Jesus? Not just yesterday, but today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. In other words, when you make that decision, I will trust Christ, it's important that it has that definite beginning, that definite moment when you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. I have that moment when I know I trusted Him. And it's so important for us to be able to know that. Some years ago, I was helping work on some folks for people who had signed up to be counselors at a Franklin Graham crusade, and had several that I just had to pass on and say to the folks who work for the Graham people, I don't know how to deal with this, because the answer would be something like this: I can't remember a time when I didn't know and follow Jesus. I wasn't sure what to do with that. I didn't know a time in my life when I didn't know what it was to know and follow Jesus. Now, understand something. I'm like a lot of you people. I was going to a Baptist church before I was born. I was raised in a Baptist church. I never had to wonder about what it meant to be a Christian. It was part of my life for as long as I can remember. But I also remember that moment in my life as a boy when I surrendered my life to Christ and trusted Him as my Savior. And that needs to be true for all of us, that we trust the Savior. But trust doesn't end there. That's the beginning. I will trust Jesus as my Savior, and then I will trust Him as I live out my days. I will trust Him to be with me. I will trust Him to be my Lord. I will trust Him to provide the way. I will trust Him to give me the strength I need. I will trust Him to guide me. I will follow by faith. That's what Paul is calling us to do. When he says, follow me as I follow Christ, what he's saying is this: we have such trust through Christ toward God. I trust Him on a constant basis. Let's take a moment. Let's break that verse down a little bit. He says, we have such trust. When you look ahead, your security is not in yourself or in your circumstances or in the people around you. We have such trust. Who do you trust more than anybody? Do you trust yourself? Who do you trust more than anybody? Do you trust those people who are influential in your life? Do you trust the circumstances in which you find yourself? Who do you trust? Because let's face it, the future is out of your control. Every week, something unexpected is going to interfere with your schedule. I heard somebody say, and you've heard it too, we make our plans and God laughs. That's true, isn't it? We make our plans and we decide this is how things are going to go and this is how it's going to work out and these are the plans that we can make for ourselves. And God knows all along there are going to be things that happen this week that you have no idea are on their way. Not one of us has the power to control what is going to happen. All of us have to live as people of trust. So what is trust? Trust is deliberately putting yourself into God's almighty hands. When you say, I will trust the Lord, what you're saying is, I will depend upon Him more than anybody else. With a confident expectation that when you arrive at the future, the Lord's going to be there waiting for you. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know what the future holds. But this is what I know. When I get there, He'll be there. And I can trust Him to show me the way. I can trust Him to meet me in my deepest points of need. I can trust Him. We have such trust. And then he goes on and he says, we have such trust through Christ. Never forget that faith has a face. When you trust God, you're not depending on the man upstairs or the good Lord or a higher power. You're trusting one specific person, Jesus Christ. We have such trust through Christ. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Who do you depend upon? I depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not God who's up there somewhere, not some vague person, not some other power. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You depend upon Jesus alone. You obey the leadership of Jesus alone. You face the future through Jesus alone. Everything that happens passes through His hands. My life is in the hands of Jesus. And then he continues on and he says, we have such trust through Christ toward God. Following is not some kind of aimless wandering around. Faith has a specific destination, and that destination is the Lord God. Through Christ, toward God. Here's the critical question. How do you know whether your Christian life is working? How do you know whether you are where you're supposed to be in the Lord's hands? Well, the answer is simply this. You have to know you're moving toward God. If my Christian life is working, then I am moving toward God. You don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be making progress. I'm closer to God today than I was yesterday, but I'm not as close as I will be tomorrow. I'm making progress in my faith. If you're further away, if you're closer, you know you're moving in the right direction. If you're further away, you know that you're not. Every day, you're moving toward or away from the Lord. And you never have to wonder which way you're going. You know. So I stand here this morning and I ask you the question, are you growing closer to God or are you drifting further from Him? You know. You know. Paul says, I will grow closer. Second decision, I will actively depend upon Jesus. I will trust Him and I will actively depend upon Him. Paul carries on. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. How do you describe what it means to live without actively trusting the Lord, actively following Him? The Bible describes it in a single word: insufficient. Insufficient. If I'm trying to do this for Him or apart from Him instead of through Him, my faith is insufficient. Human nature tries to convince itself we have everything under control. And then your family faces calamity. Then you lose your job. Then the doctor says, I have bad news. In that moment, you recognize you're not in control. The truth is, you never were. Here's the truth. You cannot handle anything apart from Christ. If you depend upon yourself, you're going to fail. If you depend upon other people, they're going to disappoint you. If you place your dependence upon anything you can lay your hands upon, it's going to let you down. The only one you can absolutely rely upon is Jesus. He's the one who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the one who said, my grace is sufficient for you. He's the one who said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus Christ is the only one who is completely trustworthy. He's the only one you can depend upon. You can either learn that the easy way, or you can learn it the hard way. Long ago, the Apostle Peter had to learn it the hard way. You remember the story? Jesus invited Peter to walk out onto the waves of a stormy sea. And as long as his focus was on Christ, he was okay. But as soon as he was distracted by the things around him, he began to sink. I remember that story. You remember that story. Why do we remember that story so easily? Because that's our lives, isn't it? Because that's you and me. We've been exactly where Peter was. Oh, maybe we weren't on a fishing boat in the middle of an ocean. But we know what it's like to think, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord. I'm depending upon the Lord. And then we allow ourselves to get distracted. And we begin to think about other things and trust in other things. And before we know it, we're going under. So many believers struggle and flounder because we forget to look toward Jesus. And that's the only direction that matters. You have to decide in the depths of your heart that you will depend upon Christ and Christ alone. And one final choice. You have to make the decision, I will surrender to His Lordship. Verse 5 says, He has made us sufficient. Your sufficiency has to come from Christ. It's never about you. It's about what He can do through you. So hear this. If you don't hear anything else today, if you go out and you tell people about what happened at church Sunday, and you want to be able to say something besides, boy, we heard Mark sing a beautiful song. Hear this. You are sufficient when you are surrendered. The end. You are sufficient when you are surrendered. King David declared his surrender to the Lord in Psalm 5:8. That's where he wrote, Lord, make your way straight before my face. In other words, show me where you're leading. I surrender. And as long as you're surrendered to doing God's will and God's way, you can depend upon His faithfulness. You are sufficient when you are surrendered. He'll show you the way. He'll give you the confidence when you step out and follow. He will make you sufficient. And you will serve Him in ways you could never imagine apart from that. Today is the day. I will trust Him. I will follow Him. I will surrender to Him. Long ago, Paul said to those Corinthian people, "You've tried everything else in the world. You've worshiped everything that you thought would be sufficient. You followed the paths of pleasure, and it all failed." And so he challenged, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that's the challenge that he issues to every one of us today. Are you ready to follow Christ? To trust his sufficiency, to depend upon his salvation, to live your life according to his guidance and under his power? Are you ready? Maybe today you're here and you're not a believer. Oh, you believe about Christ, but you've never trusted him as your Savior. And maybe today is the day when you need to invite Jesus into your heart to be your Savior and to be your Lord. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing that part of what it means for me to follow Christ is to be part of what God is doing in this church fellowship, where he is working in lives and hearts. And maybe you need to bring your membership to this place. Maybe you're dealing with somewhere in your life where you recognize this is unsurrendered and it's time for me to yield it to the Lord. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Been such a good day in God's house. Thank you again, Eddie, for leading us in worship this morning. Remember now, all of our ordained men are invited to come at 4 o'clock this afternoon to meet with Sam in room 175, and we'll be sharing together in that ordination council. And remember, because of the ordination council, we'll not be having our regular Sunday evening time together. So be praying for Sam, and we look forward to a very special time together. been good to be in God's house. Let's bow together for one last prayer and then a final song. Father, we thank you that you are there when we surrender, that we don't have to trust ourselves because we can trust you. And Lord, you always give us the guidance and the leadership that we need. So Father, we depend upon you. We trust you and we find our strength in you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just pray.